And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, broadcasting from my basement out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn also with me. And today we're going to come back to what's happening in the public schools. There seems to be a lot of unrest in the public school, a lot of dissatisfaction. And proof to point was the fact that, homeschooling population is now something like 14% of the school-aged population in America now. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of dissatisfaction with what's going on in the public schools and the revolutionary approach that's being taken by school boards across the country. Loudoun County School Board is probably just one illustration of what's going on. Some of these news stories, you know, they could be covered elsewhere, but instead one particular county shows up in the headlines quite often. In fact, this county, Steve, has been in the headlines for almost 2 months now. So this controversy has been going on. A couple of arrests happened over the weekend. Somebody has lashed out at followers of Jesus in this latest school board meeting in Loudoun County. And, this, I think, is representative of what's going on around the country.
Yeah, the surprising thing for me is that it's taken so long for homeschooling to rise. I mean, there's so many things that are going on right now that are just awful in these schools. I'm really surprised with the whole transgender thing, the sex education thing. You know, this is just the next thing in the long list of things that's finally reaching a tipping point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this county, Loudoun County, Virginia, is probably representative of Douglas County, Colorado, and which is a county just next to ours, where you see these red counties turning pink and then moving bluish. And that happened in Loudoun County. In 2016, the county turned sharply Democrat. It's also the county where Homeschool Legal Defense Association has its headquarters in Purcellville. And so, you know, there you have it. You have a conservative organization right there where everything is turning the other direction, similar to what's happening in the state of Colorado, so we can relate. So obviously these homeschooling conservative organizations, Patrick Henry, et cetera, not really making all that much difference in Virginia and California or Colorado. And also, evidently, nobody's thought about going towards homeschooling, or maybe there are many who are turning to homeschooling, but there's still something of a food fight at the Loudoun County Education Committee meetings.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, again, how could HSLDA and Patrick Henry not have as much influence in that area when they have a huge influence over a lot of other areas? I guess, as Jesus said, a prophet's not welcome in his own hometown, so maybe the homeschool organization, Legal Defense, is not welcome in their hometown either.
Well, I think you have to look at Virginia and Colorado as being the swing states. You know, we have been in the swing state now for, I've been here for, 25 years. Focus on the Family showed up before I did. And it's not as if Focus on the Family and all the pro-family, pro-Christian organizations from Colorado Springs have made that much difference in Colorado since the early 1990s. Instead, everything's going the other direction. So I think this is just representative of what's happening with the nation. We just happen to be at the forefront. We are on the battlegrounds. We are at the battlefront itself, and we're not making much progress. I just think, you know, American Christians have to realize that we have moved into a post-Christian era. And yeah, if you're in some conservative county in Alabama, you're going to be okay for another 30 years. But if you're, you know, somewhere in the state of Colorado, if you're in the state of Virginia, these are the swing states, and they're going the other direction. And now North Carolina, Texas, Pennsylvania, some of these other states that typically had something of a Republican influence that could sway elections, that's going away as well. So, I mean, it's just the trend of the nation right now. Now, there were some states, like West Virginia, that's just a few years behind everybody else, but they were conservative Democrat states that effectively were conservative. They just turned Republican for a short time until the ideology caught up in the public schools. everybody was properly ideologically propagandized and they all turned blue, which is what happens over time. So, you know, you're slowly seeing the southern states, the swing states, moving more and more liberal. And so, you know, what could possibly change this scenario? I'm going to say it's going to be a change in the churches. It's going to be a revival across the country. Would that God bring it to a county or a state near you sometime soon? This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Vaughn also. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, and today talking about the Loudoun County kerfuffle, where there's a fair amount of dissatisfaction on the part of the conservative residents of the county. And please, I'll be aware, friends, that these folks are taken by surprise. The whole thing was red 4 years ago. Now it's not. Now it's blue. They're all upset. They're all up in arms. The bad guys have control of the schools. Now what do we do? You know, check out HSLDA.org, homeschool, whatever. But there are options. There are islands of culture, islands of freedom still available here and there across America. We're thankful for that. Here's a local paper covering this Loudoun County situation. Organizers of the Loudoun County for All rally sought to demonstrate support for the LGBTQ community during this whole thing. Nearby Fight for Schools, which is leading an effort to recall school board members, protest against the proposed policy for transgender students and the school division's equity program. So this is like this big old circus going on around the school board meeting. You've got organizations that support LGBTQ, the others that are trying to support quote-unquote traditional values. So here they're going after each other in the parking lot of the school board. Tensions high as Fight for Schools advocates jeered the LGBTQ supporters and cheered as the bus covered in signs calling for Beth Bart's recall drove through the parking lot. Before the meeting, somebody said he was there to voice my disgust at what's going on in Loudoun County. School says it's changed a lot in the last 5 years. They're forcing this stuff down their throat. Well, guess why it's been changing for the last 5 years? You've gone blue, big guy. Just be aware of that. You know, I mean, get your head out of the sand and realize that's happening to the conservative counties, the conservative states, the swing states. And so, you know, unless the content in the biology class changes, you're probably not going to have any progress down the road when it comes to transgenderism. So I don't think people are putting two and two together on this one, Steve.
Yeah, it's you know, really it's about the curriculum and it's about the teachers and what they're teaching. And, you know, the school board, of course, is going to okay all of that. But my goodness, if you're not satisfied with the public school, I think the first step is to take your kids out of the public school and teach them at home, and you can choose your curriculum. You can teach them proper biology that is a biblical biology. You don't have to, kowtow to these people. Just pull your kids out.
Somehow people don't realize, you know, the root of all of this is Darwin. The root of all this is evolution. The root of all of this is that nobody is holding up a sign saying the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Didn't see that in the school board meeting, you know, because people aren't thinking in terms of fundamentals. They're just a little upset about the wall coverings, the wallpaperings covering the buildings. They're not realizing the foundations are completely jacked. Hey, you know, look under the carpet, guys. There are 6-foot fissures in the foundations of your entire system. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. That was jettisoned 50 years ago, 80 years, 140 years. I can't remember when. It was a long time ago. But three issues that seem to be primary as a concern amongst these parents, the Loudoun County School Board meeting, transgendering the schools, critical race theory, and pornography in the literature curriculum. So apparently what's being attempted in the blue cities and the blue states, all of the public schools by enforcement of the present United States, is a social and cultural revolution that probably will end in blood in the streets. And here's why. Because you've got such a destabilizing influence that comes about by these revolutionary systems. I just think people don't realize how revolutionary these things are. You bring transgenderism into a kindergarten, and that's a revolutionary move. Right, Steve? That's revolutionary. That's not just saying, hey, we decided to, you know, allow for dogs to run around in the playground. You know, that, or, you know, I mean, you transgender the bathrooms of a kindergarten. That's about as revolutionary as you can get. I mean, that's, you know, like trying to reintroduce voluntary human sacrifice or cannibalism into the kindergarten. You know, I mean, it's just like, it's radical. I mean, just admit it. I think just stepping back and saying, you know, if you could try to think of the most radical, revolutionary thing you could do in a kindergarten in Loudoun County, Virginia in 2021, what would it be? I mean, yeah, maybe in reintroducing voluntary human sacrifice. You know, that would be pretty radical, wouldn't you agree?
That would be radical. And the thing is that these little kindergartners, they seem to understand that boys and girls are different. They seem to be have that written maybe on their hearts somehow, that they understand that there's a big difference between boys and girls, and so you got to get them early if you're going to radicalize them. So get them in kindergarten, I guess.
So I'm just saying, this is one reason why you're going to have a fair amount of controversy. Of course you're going to have controversy. You know, you introduce human sacrifice into the kindergartens, you're probably going to get some debate on the issue at the school board meeting. I mean, it's just going to happen. There's going to be controversy. There's going to be a few people left in Virginia who's going to find that reprehensible. Why? Because it's a pretty important revolutionary step. Now, they took the evolutionary step 40, 50 years ago when they told everybody they had, you know, evolved out of the cosmic slime. So that step had already been taken, what, 40, 50, 60 years ago in the 1950s and 60s. Well, now they're just trying to, you know, transgender the kids. That's pretty significant. That's pretty significant. That's a sharp divide. There's going to be some destabilization going on there. The challenge with diversity, and the whole point is they're trying to enforce a tribalism. They're trying to enforce what they call sexual perversion, actually sexual diversity. It's not sexual perversion. Remember, it's called sexual diversity. They're trying to enforce a sexual diversity in the schools. The challenge with diversity is that it interrupts the unity of a social system. That's a big duh for, you know, problem with diversity is it disturbs the fundamental unity of a human society. Outside of that, it's just fine. Now, if people are saying, well, yeah, but we need a degree of diversity, the only way to get a proper diversity and unity is by the Trinitarian God and his Trinitarian word, in which he gives to us his Trinitarian will that's conveyed to us in the law of God, whereby, you know, human society can survive as a unity and a diversity. But, friends, there is no other way to do it. Otherwise, you're going to err on the unity or err on the diversity, or you're just going to blow up your society, and that's pretty much what's happening. Well, in some respects, transgenderism is far more radical than cannibalism or bestiality. And here's why. You can't keep transgenderism in the closet. I mean, think about this. Somebody wants to transgender and change clothes and do a surgery and all this. It's pretty hard to keep that in the closet. You could probably keep your cannibalism in the closet if you happen to be Hannibal the Cannibal or somebody like that. You probably keep it in the closet for a period of time. But with transgenderism, you can't keep it in the closet. The goal is to change the fundamental physical appearance of the individual, and that becomes a radical disruption to the entire social fabric of a community. So, friends, I'm just explaining to you why this is probably the most radical. If you sat down and said, what is the best way in which I could bring about a revolution and blow up an entire community? I can't think of anything more radical than this. Can you, Steve? I mean, what could now, I suppose that it would be akin to a human being trying to change himself into an animal. what they call clinical lycanthropy. I don't know if you've heard of clinical lycanthropy. Have you heard of that? This is a psychiatric syndrome that involves a delusion that the affected person can transform into or has transformed into an animal.
I haven't heard the word, but I've seen videos on it.
I'm hesitant to bring this out because I'm sure somebody's going to be listening to this and say, well, that's a really good idea. Let's put that into the kindergarten down the street.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I don't know if we should be talking about this. A psychiatric condition like this that eventually will become mainstream by, I don't know, maybe next year? By March, roughly, of next
year.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know what comes next. Either everybody has to accept this guy in the school for whom he wants to be, or he's got to stay in the closet. You follow me here? Either everybody's got to accept this guy who's got this lycanthropic psychiatric disorder, or everybody is going to have to see him as a mental case. Somebody needs significant help, or more importantly, a change of heart and mind and life by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that would be a Christian approach. That's, you know, we would say, okay, now that's a serious psychiatric problem, but it's also an effect of sin. And so let's go to the root of this and let's realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ can deal with things like this. But sadly, right now, Steve, right now, the mental institute is everywhere now. And I'm supposed to refer to this child as a wolf, or this guy as Napoleon, this guy as a girl. I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, okay, he wants to be Napoleon. Now I got to recognize him as Napoleon. Oh, man, do I have to recognize this guy over here to be a wolf, a werewolf, and this guy over here, this he to be a she to be a he. And, you know, I've got to do it by law or I lose my teaching position at the local public school.
Yeah, that's what happened with the with that phys ed teacher. Yeah. So he got kicked out and they're trying to reinstate him. That's exactly what happened. He went on social media and said, I am not going to recognize this person as something other than what they biologically are, because that's how God designed him. And so that teacher got fired for that.
I'm still not sure how this is any different from, you know, in the 1950s, you're in a mental institute and some guy wants to be Napoleon. Well, today it's like, yeah, he gets to be Napoleon. Or you lose your job at the mental institute.
Yeah.
Or wherever you're working.
Yeah, how does that work? I worked on a psych ward and saw people who thought they were you know, Jesus or somebody else, and they were in for treatment, but of course then they may run to the psychiatric association and complain so much that they take that out of the books too, just like they did homosexuality.
Well, now they get to be appointed as ambassador of Zambia or something like that by the president of the United States.
Yeah.
That's where it is today.
Yeah.
All right. So, back in May, getting back to the Loudoun County School Board, back in May, Fox News reported on the same thing. So again, we're coming back to the issues that seem to be disturbing the public schools today. Parents of students in a wealthy Virginia public school district torched the school board over critical race theory as well as so-called pornographic books being assigned to high school freshman students. That's the way the Fox News story read in May of this year. Wearing a face shield and wielding the fury of a protective mother bear, the mother of a student at the Loudoun County Public Schools eviscerated the school board for pushing critical race theory in the district's school. She started with quotes from Martin Luther King's famous I Have a Dream speech. She said critical race theory is not an honest dialogue. This woman, it happens to be black, according to the story. Critical race theory, she says, is not an honest dialogue. It's a tactic used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. LCPS, the Loudoun County Public Schools, has also come under fire from parents for a separate issue at the same meeting, raunchy books featuring underage sex. One LCPS parent who wished to be anonymous said parents were not told of the curriculum change. One book depicted a scene where a man beats a woman, stuffs her in a closet, and then continues to beat her when she asks for water. Another book assigned by LCPS teachers to their students and depicts a sex scene when the original syllabus was given to the parents of the honors English class in August. These books were not part of the list. They added them without informing the principal or the parents. From what I understand, I was not in the room. The children were told they did not have to share the changes with their families, and so on and so off it goes. Well, you know, lots of dissatisfaction with what's going on in the public schools in terms of the literature. Sadly, they're not using Christian classics. And, you know, again, Steve, we come back to this issue again and again. Matthew 18 is pretty strong. It's pretty much the strongest thing that the Lord Jesus Christ ever said, especially in relation to children. That is, if you stumble, one of the least of these who believes in me, it would be better for you that a millstone be hanged on your neck and you be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Pretty severe words. And it seems to me these public school teachers aren't taking those words seriously, or the school board either.
No, they're not. And they will one day, and hopefully in this life, or it's going to be too late. One of the other side issues I'm thinking, too, is that the school board and the rest of the county is finding out all the people who are against this. And so they, you know, they've become now public. I wonder if they're going to if the school board and the rest are going to try to cancel these people who have been raising all of these objections. They're now known by the school board as to those who don't want critical race theory or all of this other stuff taught.
Yeah, and you know, I think parents are asking the question, why do we have to always revert back to the porn books and the abusive rape language? You know, why does that become the stuff to study for the
default
honors,
yeah,
students at the local high school? And I think the answer is that your literature reflects the basic epistemology and the metaphysic and the teleology of the society. And friends, we are a society in free fall. We are a society in kamikaze, in a suicidal mode. And this is what we are. We're just ramming ourselves into the side of an aircraft carrier. This is who we are. This is what we are as a civilization. We have given up on the possibility of any purpose for life. We have become the hopeless, nihilistic, self-destructive civilization. We are the destroyers. And that was the sign that was on the College of Art School up in Vancouver, Washington. I talk a little bit about that in my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. But I think that's the bottom line. Now, some people say, hey, now we got to come back to the classics. In fact, the classics have come in hard times. The Princeton Classics Department has jettisoned the classics, it turns out. I guess they're going to have to change the name of their department, you know, if you're not, they're not mandating the study of the classics anymore. John Stonestreet from Breakpoint wrote, "We should also become fluent in age-old wisdom in the books, ideas, and art that have stood the test of time and nurtured civilization." Now, I would say as we close up the program here, again, folks who listen to the program regularly know what I think about this. I don't think it's time to go back to the old pagan Greeks and Romans. The Greek fatalism that forces Oedipus to commit incest with his father's wife ultimately is not that much better than the whatever is taught in the public schools. Now, it's granted, it's much more of a degraded mode of communication. I get that. The mode of communication, the method, is changing. But friends, the worldview is pretty much the same. It's still the old pagan worldview. It's another attempt to justify human sin in a fatalistic worldview. Same thing with Shakespeare's revival of the Fates in Macbeth, presenting an apologetic for the Greek worldview. That ultimately, if Macbeth was not to be killed by a man born of a woman, and it turns out Macduff was a C-section, then it was the Fates that determined that. And therefore, if the Fates determine inevitably what will happen, then that will relieve any possible moral responsibility for the individual. And that's precisely what the pagans have been trying to do with their metaphysic and with their ethic since the Greeks and the Romans. It's just another attempt to justify human sin in a fatalistic worldview. And the same thing's happened with Shakespeare, reviving the Greeks and reviving the Fates in Macbeth, presenting an apologetic for the Greek worldview. I'm sorry, folks. The classics, for the most part, present a dressed-up, intellectualized approval of the same evils promoted by the public schools today. Same thing for Mark Twain's mockery of Christianity and Huck Finn. It's probably the most intense mockery of Christianity you're going to find anywhere, in which he places Huck on the horns of a dilemma: either support the Bible and support slavery or go to hell. Those were his choices. And so, you know, this is the same argument against the Bible that's been used by every atheist since then. And it seems to me that, you know, we need to come out and slash and burn the classics from a worldview perspective. And that's what we do with Worldviews in Conflict. That's what we do emphasizing the Christian classics as part of our brand new Christian worldview-based Christian form of curriculum we offer for 1st through 12th graders as part of the Generations Ministry. And friends, I encourage you to come back to a Christian world and life. You get out of the pagan classics, insist upon Christian thinking, Christian morality, Christian writers, Christian education. That's the only thing that's going to restore a Christian world and life view in the modern world. Get rid of these pagan classics, these Christian colleges that fall at the feet of the pagan classics and the apostate writers of the 19th century are going to do nothing to restore a Christian world and life view. So I encourage you to spread the good news about Generations and get your friends, get your Christian friends and family members in your churches who are perhaps even now enamored by the pagan classical education form. Get them to start thinking Christianly. Encourage them away from the pagan classics. Encourage them to the Christian classics, first and foremost for your children. That's what we feature as part of the Christian worldview, Christian discipleship-based curriculum offered by Generations, all at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.